companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Noorallah. Dear viewers of Madinin channel, welcome back to another splendid episode on the Silsila, the timeless message, in which we discuss various accounts from the Holy Quran, from the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the lives of the Ahlul Bayt and the companions alayhim ridwan and the awliya Allah. And today we are going to be discussing a very beautiful, thought-provoking topic of discussion, and that is regarding the virtues of sajda. Yes, the virtues of prostration, of making sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we journey along today's episode, we are going to be discussing various different perspectives in this regard, and most importantly, the virtues and the excellences of making sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the one who recites salawat upon me 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, that person will find my shafa'ah, my intercession, on the day of qiyamah. Subhanallah. So let us all collectively send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we express our thanks and our gratitude to our most merciful creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the countless blessings that he has bestowed upon you and I. And upon that, we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ala kulli hal. And this is important, you know, that we be grateful in life. We be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We show thanks to our fellow Muslims, to our family members, to other people. We show thanks to them as well, because this is the beautiful teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he has mentioned, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ, that one who cannot show thanks to people cannot show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So gratitude, viewers of Madani channel, it takes one a very, very long way in life. And this is a habit that we should inculcate in ourselves and in the lives of our children as well. That even if a person may be rich or a person may be poor, in all circumstances, we are to say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ala kulli hal. So we are discussing the virtues, the excellences of prostration, of making sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know, interestingly, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that whoever says, Ya Rabbi ghafirli, Ya Rabbi ghafirli, Ya Rabbi ghafirli, whoever says this 3 times whilst in the state of sajda, whilst in the state of prostration, that Ya Allah forgive me, Ya Allah forgive me, Ya Allah forgive me, Ya Rabbi ghafirli, when he raises his head, he will have been forgiven. Subhanallah. Now this dua should be recited during the prostrations of voluntary prayers, voluntary salah, or when performing a prostration of shukr, of gratitude for blessings received. Now during a dua of gratitude, one may express other permissible supplications as required. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that a servant is closest to his Rabb whilst in the state of sajda. So make abundant supplications during prostration. Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, in explaining this hadith, a very beautiful explanation is given by Mufti Ahmad Irkhan Naimi rahimahullah. Says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always close to us. But it is us, it is we that remain distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, in the state of prostration, we are granted a special proximity, a special closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So consider this closeness a great blessing. And ask for whatever you can, whatever lawful wishes and desires you have. Make such dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask, and you would see how it will be accepted, inshallah. And remember that wudu is mandatory for the prostration of gratitude. However, for a customary prostration performed without the intention of gratitude, it is not necessary, as it is not a shari'i prostration, not a shari'i sajda, but merely a permissible act, neither yielding reward nor incurring sin. If one wishes to make dua during sajda out of salah, then they may do so in languages other than Arabic. So if you are facing any difficulty, you are facing any problem, you're going through stress and whatnot, then make sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua in that state of prostration. Because that is a time when a person is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I have been prohibited from reciting the Quran during ruku and sujood. In ruku, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in sujood, strive in supplication. For those supplications, they are worthy of acceptance. Allahu Akbar. And here again, a very beautiful explanation has been given by Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, when he says that in the prostrations of voluntary salahs, make du'as explicitly, right? In the prostrations of other prayers, other salahs, perform the tasbih and the tamheed, meaning glorification and praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this too is an implicit form of making du'a, because praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also serves as making du'a, as supplication. Some pious elders have been observed falling into prostration and making du'as, pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the basis for this is this hadith that you and I have heard. As in prostration, a servant attains, what does he attain? He attains the utmost spiritual proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make du'a in the state, inshallah, will certainly be accepted. You know, the beloved father of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Rida Khan rahimahullah, Mawlana An-Naqi Ali Khan rahimahullah, among the 45 times and situations in which supplications are accepted, the 20th is during sajda. It is during prostration. See, in this state, there is a strong hope for the acceptance of the supplication. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And it is mentioned that there is a summary of the statement given by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, that upon being granted the ability to supplicate and plead in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one should perform a prostration, a sajda, with the intention of gratitude. For a servant is closest to his Rabb in the state of prostration. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, as we have heard the narration, that a servant is closest to his Rabb in the state of prostration. So make plenty of supplications whilst prostrating. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And Mawlana Naqi Ali Khan rahimahullah, he says also that at the time of the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prostrated before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, Rabbi habli ummati, that, oh Allah, forgive my ummah for my sake. And it was said, I have forgiven your ummah because of your exceptional resolve. And then a divine command was given to the angels that, oh my angels, bear witness that my beloved did not forget his ummah at the time of his birth. So how could he forget them on the day of Qiyamah? Allahu Akbar. Look at how much from this we see, the views of Madinah and Shunam, how much Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves you and I. How much Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cares for you and I. So compassionate, so kind to you and I, his ummatis, that at the time of his birth, he was in the state of sajda, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi habli ummati, oh Allah, forgive my ummah. Subhanallah. There was a person who was mentioning their problems to a pious man. And he said that whatever I do, it goes wrong. Whatever I do goes wrong. What should I do? That righteous man, he asked, have you seen a stamp? And he said, yeah, I've seen a stamp. He asked, do you know how writing appears on a stamp? He said, the writing is inverted on it. And he asked, can you tell me how it appears correctly? The man said that when the stamp is pressed onto the paper, the words, they appear correctly. And he said, just as the stamp presses onto the paper and its inverted words appear correctly, similarly, you should perform wudu, go to the masjid and make sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah, your affairs would also be set right. Allahu Akbar. These are the virtues, even of Madinah Shunam, of making sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should increase our ibadat together with the fara'id, together with the 5-time salah, the obligatory salah. We should increase our nawafil salahs as well. You know, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was seated on a mat made of hay, and his companions were sitting around him. So he commanded the wind and it lifted the mat. Jinn and humans began walking before him, and birds provided shade. A farmer was working in his field, and he thought to himself that if I was in the presence of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, I would ask him 3 things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam to visit the farmer. So he rode his horse, approached him and said, oh farmer, I am Sulaiman. Ask whatever you wish to ask. The farmer asked, how did you know the intention of my heart? Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me this knowledge. So the farmer said, I have believed in this knowledge. The first point is, by Allah, when I saw you surrounded by blessings, I thought to myself that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam's past pleasures and blessings come to an end, whereas I am still in the same toil and fatigue as I was yesterday. However, you do not feel past pleasures again, and I do not feel past hardships again. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, he asked about the second matter. The farmer said that I told myself that Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam will not remain in this world forever, and I too must die. Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, he replied, he said that you have spoken the truth. The farmer continued. He went on to say, the third thing I said was merely to comfort myself, that on the day of Qiyamah, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam will be questioned about these blessings, but I will not be questioned. Hearing this, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, he dismounted from his horse, he made sajda and he cried, he wept, and he submitted before the divine court, submitted before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and said, Ya Allah, were you not Al-Jawad, the greatest bestower of bounty and generosity, and free from miserliness? I would certainly ask you to take back these blessings. Meaning that he would have requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to withdraw his blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, O Sulaiman, raise your head from prostration, from sajda, for I will not reckon the blessings I bestow upon my servant when I am pleased with him. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Like that we see also another beautiful incident, that Sayyidina Ja'far Khuldi alayhi rahmah, he asked Sayyidina Khair al-Nassaj rahimahullah, Then how did you become known by the name Khair al-Nassaj? Were you a Nassaj? That is, did you work as a weaver? He said, no. Rather, the reason is that I made a pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I would never eat fresh dates out of my own desire. And I remained firm on my pledge for a long time. And once, you know, compelled by my desires, I bought some dates and I sat down to eat. I had only eaten one date when a man began to look at me angrily. He came and he said, "Oh Khair, you are my runaway slave." In reality, that person had a slave. He had a slave whose name was also Khair. He had escaped, and due to a misunderstanding, he thought that I was his slave. And in all honesty, this person says that my complexion had also become like his slaves. Many people gathered, and as soon as they saw me, they all suddenly said, "By Allah, this is your slave Khair." And I clearly understood what crime I was being punished for. The man took me to his shop, mistaking me for his slave. And they, his other slaves, were weaving cloth. When the other slaves saw me, they said that, "Oh, immoral slave, do you run away from your master? Come here and do the work that you used to do." Then the master ordered me, "Go and weave such and such cloth." As soon as I began weaving, I felt as though I were a highly skilled artisan and had been doing this. I had been doing this work for many, many years. So I started working with the other slaves. After several months of working there, one night I performed many optional salahs, prayers, and spent the entire night in ibadah. Then I fell into sajda and made this dua, "Oh Allah, forgive me, I will never break my pledge again." I continued to make dua in this manner. When morning came, I saw that I had returned to my original form, and so I was released. Because of this, my name became Khair al-Nassaj, meaning Khair, the weaver of clothes. Allahu Akbar. Can you see, viewers of Madani Channel, the blessings, the barakah, the virtue of making sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making dua in that state. So this is something that, you know, it motivates us. It encourages us to increase our good deeds, to increase us making more and more prostrations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in that state, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Khawwas rahimahullah, another beautiful incident. He was once in the jungle when he suddenly met a person for whom he felt dislike in his heart. So the person said that, "I am a Christian monk and I've come from Rome to stay in your company." Sayyidina Ibrahim Khawas alayhi rahma, he came to know the secret behind the dislike that arose in his heart. So he said to the monk that, "I have nothing to eat, nothing to drink, and you're going to be facing hardship." So he said that, "Your name resounds throughout the entire world, and yet you are still worried about food and drink." And upon hearing this, Sayyidina Ibrahim Khawas rahimullah permitted him to stay in his company. 7 days and nights passed without food, without drink. And the monk, he became anxious. He said that, "Now the matter is beyond what I can bear. I mean, please arrange for some food, arrange for some drink." So Sayyidina Ibrahim Khawas Ali Rahma, he prostrated. He went into sajda and made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, "Oh Allah, this non-Muslim has held a good opinion of me. My honor is in your hands. Do not disgrace me before this non-Muslim." After making this dua, he raised his head from sajda and found a tray with 2 loaves of bread and 2 vessels of water. After eating and drinking, they set off together. After another 7 days passed, they stopped somewhere and the monk prostrated and made dua. Instantly, a tray appeared with 4 loaves of bread and 4 vessels of water. Sayyidina Ibrahim Khawas rahimahullah was shocked, he was surprised, he was astonished. He thought to himself that, you know what, he would not eat anything from it. The monk said, "Please eat And here two good news, two glad tidings. Firstly, I accept Islam. He recited the kalima. He says, secondly, you have a very high status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I made this dua whilst in sajda, whilst prostrating that, oh Allah, if Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is truly your messenger, then grant me two loaves of bread and two glasses of water. And if Ibrahim Khawas is your wali, is your friend, then grant me two more loaves of bread and two more glasses of water. As soon as I raised my head from sajda, after making this dua, the tray of food was presented. And upon hearing the Sayyidina Ibrahim Khawas rahimahullah, he ate the food. And with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the new Muslim attained a high rank of wilaya, a high rank of a sainthood. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So we see the views of Madani, inshallah. We need to be sincere. Sincerity is the key. Sincerity is what matters most. When you do any good, be sincere in it. You know, don't do things for people to see, oh, mashallah, look at him. He's so long in sajda. How pious is he? Don't have this feeling of pride and arrogance, because that is what destroys shaitan. And shaitan is going to try, you know, every trick in the book to destroy even our good deeds. That when a person does a good deed, then a person want to have a sense of showing off, you know, and pride and arrogance and all of these things. So we need that when we do a good deed, our intention must be strong, that our intention is, I'm doing this only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you would see how it benefits you. We need to save ourselves from pride, from ostentation, from showing off, from arrogance. Because all of this, it destroyed a shaitan. A person may be giving donations, a person may be giving so much of charity and whatnot. If his intention is that I want people to know that I have given it, then it's gone down the drain. Because the reward is lost, the reward is gone. The intention was not right. You know, whatever we do in life, dear of Madani channel, it must be only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do someone good, don't expect them to do the same good to you or even more than that. And if they don't, then you don't need to feel disappointed. Why? Because your intention wasn't for them to return any good to you. Your intention was for the pleasure, was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for that. So we have to make sure that in the good that we do, in our ibadat, in our salah, our intentions must be sincere. Ikhlas is very, very important, Yusuf Madani channel. The intention must be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see another incident wherein Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli al-Baghdadi rahimahullah saw someone engrossed in worldly affairs. And as a result, he fell into prostration and he recited this dua. الحمد لله الذي عافاني مما ابتلاك به وفضلني على كثير ممن خلق تفضيلا. Meaning, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who granted me well-being from the affliction with which he tested you and favored me over many of his creatures with a clear distinction. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon them and forgive us all without accountability for their sake. After narrating this incident, Mufti Ahmed al-Khanna'imi rahimahullah, he says so beautifully that if this dua is recited upon seeing someone afflicted with a religious or worldly hardship, then insha'Allah the reciter will remain safe from that affliction. Allahu Akbar. And it's mentioned, Mufti Ahmed al-Khanna'imi rahimahullah, under this hadith he says that whether the affliction is physical, such as leprosy, blindness, or any other disease, financial, such as debt, poverty, or scarcity of sustenance, etc., or religious, such as kufr, disbelief, immorality, oppression, reprehensible innovation. This dua, in short, is a remedy for every calamity. And this dua should be recited very softly so that the afflicted person does not hear it, as it may cause them distress. So memorize this dua, learn this dua. It is a very, very beautiful dua. Inshallah, we'll go with it once more so that we can gain the advantage of memorizing it, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi aafani mimma btalaka bihi wa faddalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdeelan. This is the dua. And remember that it should be recited softly so that the afflicted person may not feel any form of distress. But as of now, viewers of Madani Channel, we do have a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, this will most definitely rejuvenate our hearts, minds, bodies and soul in the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go and listen to this melodious kalam. And thereafter, we will be back to discuss much further into this beautiful topic, inshallah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير خلق كلهم
ولسان Send blessings upon your beloved, the best and perfect creation that you have created.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khair khalqi
محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم The master of both worlds, jinn and mankind combined Arab or non-Arab, he is leader of the Intercession we all hope for in every horror and yes, in every calamity.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khair khalqi
and character that don't near him in knowledge or in generosity.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khair khalqi
the world and from thee. From your knowledge is the tablet and the pen of decree.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khair khalqi. In generosity,
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khair khalqi kullihim.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, what a beautiful Quran, the famous Qasida Burda Sharif in the Arabic language, and that too, MashaAllah, in the English language as well. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. And we should also make it a habit, of Madinah Channel, to recite this Qasida Burda Sharif, inshallah. Recite it in your homes, teach it to your children. It brings shifa, it brings cure. And subhanAllah, it brings a lot of barakah and blessings in your home, in your life, in your sustenance as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the complete love for His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing the virtues of sajda. Yes, and thus far we have mentioned many excellences, many virtues in this regard. And just before going to listen to this beautifully recited famous Qasida Burda Sharif, we have been mentioning about what dua we should recite when we see someone with an affliction. And we should recite that dua softly so that the afflicted person may not have any distress. Now remember that this dua, it should not be recited upon seeing someone afflicted with any of these three ailments: common cold, itching, and sore eyes. When you see someone with common cold, itching, and sore eyes, then do not recite this dua. Now, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he explains this and he says that it's narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that three ailments should not be disliked, meaning do not consider them bad. Common cold, because it cuts off the root of many diseases. The second was itching, because it prevents skin diseases like leprosy. And the third is sore eyes, as it repels blindness. So these three divs of Madinah, when you see someone afflicted with it, then do not recite this dua. Now Sayyidina Ma'adan bin Abi Talha, rahimahullah, he narrates that he says he met Sayyidina Thawban radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked him, tell me of an action which, if I perform it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will admit me into paradise by its blessing. Or, he said, tell me the most beloved action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Thawban radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he remained silent. He says, asked again, but he remained silent. When I asked for the third time, he said, I had asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perform abundant prostrations, because whenever you prostrate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will raise your rank by 1 degree and forgive one of your sins in return. Subhanallah. In one narration, it is also stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records a pious deed for the one who prostrates because of it. Now here, Mufti Ahmad Al-Khana'imi rahimahullah, he says regarding this part of the first hadith that I had asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this. Meaning, I too asked The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this question 3 times. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained silent 2 times. And on the 3rd time, he gave me an answer. Following this very sunnah, I also remained silent 2 times. Now the silence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to increase the eagerness of the questioner. And Sayyidina Thawban radiallahu ta'ala anhu remained silent to act upon the sunnah. Subhanallah, the companions, the ashab alayhim ridwan, used to emulate the mannerisms of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Mufti Ahmad Irkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he says that regarding this part of the hadith, perform abundant prostrations. Here he says that this means perform more optional salahs. Recite the Holy Quran abundantly and perform more prostrations of gratitude, of shukr. And regarding this part of the hadith, and forgive one of your sins in return. He says that from this it is understood that prostration is an expiation for sins. However, the sins referred to here are minor sins related to huququllah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huququl ibad, the rights of people, are forgiven. How? By fulfilling them. And major sins are forgiven through repentance. This is something very, very important for you and I to keep in mind and to remember. Allama Abdul Rauf Munawi rahimahullah, he poses a question. He says, what is the difference between the elevation of rank and the recording of pious deeds, when rank is elevated precisely because of the recording of good deeds? He then answers this by saying that although rank is elevated due to the recording of pious deeds, the cause is separate from the result. Hence, these are 2 distinct things. Sometimes rank is not elevated by the recording of pious deeds. Rather, another sin is erased. Subhanallah. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the fire will burn the entire body of a person except for the mark of prostration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden hell from burning the mark of prostration. Here, under the commentary of this hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, in summary, he says that it means that the fire of hell will burn all the limbs of those people, meaning those Muslims who will enter hell, but will not be able to burn their foreheads. Some commentators have said that all 7 limbs of prostration, meaning the forehead, both hands, both knees, and both feet, will remain safe. And some commentators have stated that this refers to the entire face. Now, this view is supported by the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, wherein it is mentioned, وَيُحَرِّمُ اللَّهُ صُوَرَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forbid the fire from touching their faces. Allahu Akbar. You know, at times you see people, you may come across some Muslims, you'll see a bit of a dark patch on the forehead. Sometimes you'll see it on their ankles. And subhanallah, divas of Madinah Shana, these are the marks, the signs of frustration, of making sajda. And Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlvi rahimahullah, commenting on the part of the hadith that helped me against your own self with abundant prostration, says that this statement, he says it so beautifully, he says this statement is like a physician, like a doctor telling a patient that I will treat you with a medicine that will grant you healing, but you must help me, meaning cooperate with me. How? By abstaining from harmful things and following my instructions. Now, in the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding against your own self, there is a warning that high ranks are attained only through opposing the self, through opposing the nafs, that we have to go against our nafs. So from this blessed hadith of Madinah channel, you and I, it is also known that serving the pious and fulfilling what pleases them is in fact a means of attaining success, a means of attaining virtue, especially considering, you know, the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the greatest blessing and good fortune in this world and in the hereafter as well. Now, whenever you receive good news, you should perform 2 rak'at of nafil salah in gratitude, or perform a sajda of shukr, of thankfulness. Now, falling into prostration upon hearing news of religious or worldly joy is called the sajda of shukr, prostration of gratitude. Like Sayyidina Abu Bakra radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam received good news or was pleased, what he would do? He would prostrate in gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi rahimahullah, he says that performing the prostration of gratitude is proven from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the companions alayhim ridwan. Have you ever performed the prostration of gratitude on an occasion of joy? Did we? If we have received a baby, a child, if we have received some blessing, have we performed the prostration of gratitude? Have we performed 2 rak'at of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You got married, did you perform 2 rak'at of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah ta'ala blessed you with a child, did you perform 2 rak'at of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All of these events of Madinah Shari brings about blessings. It draws mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It attracts the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in Malfudate Ala Hazrat, there was a question that is the prostration of gratitude sunnah or mustahab? And the answer that was mentioned, it is that it is the sunnah of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. When the head of the accursed Abu Jahl was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed a prostration of gratitude, a sajda of gratitude. Another question we see, if one makes the intention for the prostration of gratitude within a prostration of salah, is there any harm? And the answer that's mentioned is, there is no harm, but it is better to perform it separately from the salah. And in Bahari Shariat, it is said that the prostration of gratitude, for instance, when a child is born, or wealth is obtained, or a lost item is recovered, or a sick person is cured, or a traveler returns, in short, prostrating for any blessing is mustahab, preferable. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to perform the sajda of shukr upon hearing good news. You know, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you receive the good news that mashallah, your visa for Hajj or Umrah and presence in Madinatul Munawwara has been approved, then you should perform the prostration of gratitude for it. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This coming Hajj season will be arriving as well in a few months' time. You know, and mashallah, already people have gotten the information that mashallah, they have been selected this year to go for Hajj. I mean, how long they have waited? Some have waited 15 years, some have waited 20 years for this blessed journey. And subhanallah, they have now received the news that, hey, mashallah, my name has been selected to go for Hajj. I mean, how much of joy would they be feeling? How happy they must be. And with all of that happiness, with all of that joy, one should not forget to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show shukr and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why we should perform 2 rak'at, nafil salah of shukr, of gratitude, prostrate, make sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of the blessings that He has bestowed in your life. And you would see, as I always say, it takes you a very, very long way in life. Now one may ask, what is the method of performing a sajda of gratitude? It's mentioned that the sunnah method for the prostration of recitation and gratitude is to stand in a state of wudu and go into prostration while saying Allahu Akbar. Then say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la three times, at least three times. After that, one should stand up while saying Allahu Akbar. Now, saying Allahu Akbar both before and after the sajda is sunnah. And both standing up to go into sajda and standing up from the sajda are mustahab. Now for the prostration, for the sajda of recitation and prostration of gratitude, one should neither raise their hands while saying Allahu Akbar, nor is there any tashahud or salam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And Sayyidina Abu Ismail Murra, rahimahullah, used to perform 1,000 nafil salahs daily. And when he became elderly, he reduced them to 400. We see also Harith Ghanawi, he says, once he performed such a lengthy prostration that he injured his forehead. And he passed away in 76 AH. Allahu Akbar. I mean, look at the divas of Madinah inshallah, how they were so enthusiastic to prolong their sujood, to increase their nafil ibadah. When Sayyidina Abu Ismail rahimahullah passed away, one of his family members saw him in a dream where the place of his prostration shone like a bright star. So they asked that, what is this on your face? He said, my forehead has been illuminated because of the harm caused by the earth. They asked, what status have you attained in the hereafter? And he said, it is the best abode whose dwellers neither leave it nor die. Allahu Akbar. And it's also narrated that after his passing, someone saw Sayyidina Abu Ismail rahimahullah in a dream, and the place of his prostration had become light. So he was asked, where are you? He replied, I am in a house whose dwellers neither depart from it nor die. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him and forgive us without any accountability for his sake. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. As of now, the Yusuf Madinah inshallah, we do have a very beautiful piece of advice, a very beautiful piece of nasiha. Let us go forward and listen to this. And shortly, inshallah, the after, we will be back to conclude with our today's topic of discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, through the teachings of Islam, we are taught the one who is truly wealthy in the sight of Allah is that person whom Allah has blessed with the wealth of contentment, qana'at. Let me mention two beautiful narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this regard. It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, wealth is not attained through abundance of possessions. Rather, true wealth is the richness of the soul. Subhanallah. This is referenced with Sahih al-Bukhari. The second narration, it is reported by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah. The noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the one who accepts Islam is provided sustenance according to his need, and whom Allah Almighty makes content with what he has given him, such a person has indeed attained success. Subhanallah. This hadith is reported in Sahih Muslim. Subhanallah. My dear viewers, we learn from this that Islam teaches us to be grateful for what we have, to be content for what we have, and to not desire so much where we are just fixated on accumulating so much wealth that will distract us from our hereafter and our preparations for the afterlife. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true richness of the soul, the wealth of contentment. Ameen bijahin nabiyyil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. What a beautiful piece of advice, Yusuf Madinah inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to act upon this beautiful advice. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing the virtues of sajda. And moving forward in Ihya al-Ulum, it's mentioned that it was the habit of the Tabi'i, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, to always make sajda directly on the ground without spreading a prayer mat or anything else at the place of sajda. And in Bahari Shariat, it's also written that prostrating without any covering, it is mustahab, it is preferable. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the most beloved state of a servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when he sees his servant prostrating, rubbing his face in the dust. Allahu Akbar. As long as the dust on a worshipper's forehead from prostrating remains, angels continue to pray for his forgiveness. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has said, that let none of you wipe the dust from his forehead until he has finished his salah. For as long as the mark of sajda from the salah remains on his forehead, the angels continue to supplicate for his forgiveness. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, dear of Madinah Sharam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability and the tawfiq to act upon what we have heard today. And Sayyidina Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he was asked, what's the reason that the faces of those who perform the hajjud are beautiful, are shining? And he said that it is because they seek solitude for their pure sustainer. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clothes them with a garment of his light. Allahu Akbar. So here's Yusuf Madani Shalom. Let us act upon this and we would see barakah, blessings, success in this world and in the hereafter. Until then, keep watching Madani channel and continue sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.